This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. The cost of a barrel of crude oil has dropped dramatically since last June. Back then, the price was more than $100 per barrel. It dropped to nearly $44 a barrel earlier this year and has now begun to make a sharp turn higher. There are a series of reasons for the rally, says Energy's specialist for Growmark, Harry Cooney.
There's been a steelworkers strike at some of the refineries, causing some concern. Also, in the past couple of weeks, the rig counts, the operating rig counts, that gives us a feel for whether the industry is starting to contract in numbers or not, has shown a large decline in the number of operating rigs, giving thoughts that down the road, oil supplies may peak out. They're real large right now, but they may peak out and then start to decline.
However, Cooney says it's important to remember crude oil started its price decline around $107 a barrel. It is very unlikely the oil rig count contraction taking place now will greatly constrain supply. Still, Cooney has been advising end users like farmers who purchase gasoline and diesel in bulk to lock in the price for their 2015 needs.
The end user sees these values out there, values they haven't seen for 4 or 5 years or more. So even though the market's way off the lows here, there's still some darn good values for end users to be able to lock in some values and to get some numbers in the ag community that are significantly below in fuel what they've been in the past few years, whereas in some other areas of the ag economy, some of their input costs may be down, but not nearly as much in percentage terms.
Many area producers are certainly taking advantage of these lows. Kent Wolf with Wolf Oil says they're busy making sure tanks are full.
Right now, as we speak, we're filling up all our farm accounts and trying to keep them as low as we can. And I think throughout the year, everything should stay this low.
That's Kent Wolf with Wolf Oil. Hamilton's hay auction took place this past weekend. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for an overview of the auction.
Well, Angela, we had a good sale this week. Ended up with 1,863 small squares. Small squares alfalfa, had 671 bales of that, and it was from 240 to the top at 390 a bale. I had 490 bales of alfalfa grass from 240 to 370. Ended up with 192 bales of orchard grass from 240 to the top of 520 a bale. And we had 150 bales of mixed grass from $2 to $3. 360 bales of straw from 250 to 290 a bale. In the round bales, we had 287 bales. We had 100 bales of alfalfa grass from 17 to $36, and none of that was really what I'd call good hay. We had some mixed grass, 175 bales from $8 to a top of $42 on some hay stored inside. And we had 12 bales of orchard grass from 30 to 36. And the 3x3s had 175 bales of alfalfa from $51 to $55 a bale, and 54 bales of straw and 3x3s at $25.50.
Hamilton added that he might be seeing an improvement in the quality of hay coming to the auction in a season that has so far created a lot of volume, but not much in terms of quality.
Right. Now, this week, the quality was a little bit better, but you know, we're still getting a lot of that grinding type hay in, but it seems like they're getting into some of their better hay now, and hopefully that we're through all the junk. But yeah, overall quality, I'm going to call it a little bit better this week, so hopefully we're on the rebound.
Hamilton also reminds those wishing to bring hay to the auction to make sure the bales are not frozen to the ground.
Yeah, and if you got bales that are froze down or busted bottoms, probably best just leave it home until it falls out, because they have no value.
Again, that was Mike Hamilton with Hamilton's Hay Auction. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this. Sow longevity has come to the forefront of issues the swine industry is focusing on in terms of reproduction. University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences Associate Professor Rob Knox outlines the reasons why.
Well, I think the industry is, from a reproductive standpoint, is struggling with sow longevity. So because replacement rates are so high, problems with developing replacement females, the gilts, and trying to maintain those sows in the herd for multiple parodies before they have to be culled as becoming an issue, and that's gained a lot of attention from the National Pork Board for not only productivity reasons, but for welfare issues as well.
The swine industry has achieved tremendous success in other areas of reproduction, with farrowing rates of 90% and litter sizes of 13 or 14 piglets becoming common. Knox says it is this success that is allowing the hog industry to alter its focus and work on longevity.
There is now a shift in focus. Once you achieve really high rates of fertility, now you can start focusing on bigger economic factors such as the genetics. Now you can start to fine-tune your genetics. You can bring in more specific genetics using single-sire matings, fixed-time inseminations. So I think all that's going to do is allow us to refocus. We don't need to get to higher fertility now. Now we've got high fertility and we can shift our focus to other areas that allow us to focus on genetic improvement.
When it comes to tackling the issue of longevity on the farm, Knox says focusing on gilt development is key.
I think right now, gilt development has, how you manage the replacement gilts has come to the, actually floated to the top of priorities. The data that's coming out from genetics companies and from even commercial operations for probably the last 15, 20 years has been the body measures, the maturity, how that animal is managed, raised, and when it is bred, all affect its lifetime productivity. And so if you can get gilt development correct and manage that gilt properly, she will be highly productive and she'll stay in the herd for an extended period of time.
With more scrutiny being placed on gilt development, Knox says there are a few things hog farmers can start doing immediately to ensure they are making strides towards increased longevity.
The selection of those females, it should be more detailed, meaning if you know who the mom was and the traits of that mother, did she express an early puberty? What is her body condition like? Those are heritable traits. So identifying the female that you want in your breeding herd genetically, developing those groups of animals for fast growth rate and optimal body condition and maturity at breeding will make sure that they're successful at their first farrowing, and then when they wean their litter and they get rebred, they'll be allowed to maintain themselves in the herd for 4 parities or more. That would be the target.
The issue of sow longevity is especially important after the outbreak of the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. Knox says producers are striving for more stability and increased hog populations on their farms, and selecting for longevity is helping them achieve these goals.
Right now, what many of the herd, the farms want is health stability. So if they can minimize the frequency of animal introductions, if you can verify herd health from your semen supplier and your gilt supplier, if you've got biosecurity processes on farm, you have a really good chance of using that health stability to maintain productivity into the future. So yeah, gilt replacement management becomes critical, making sure those gilts come on if they're coming into the farm or if they're being home raised. You allow those animals adequate time to develop immunity, acclimate to the herd diseases. So yeah, I think that's going to be key for disease control in the future.
Knox also highlights some resources producers can turn to for more information.
Any of the producers that want to get more information, there's lots of great seminars. This is seminar season because of the trade shows throughout the Midwest U.S. But there's trade shows all over. There's educational seminars, not only in Illinois, but else in other states as well. There's always opportunities in the summer with the World Pork Expo, the big seminar. Online, the Pork Information Gateway is a free, accessible resource, great source for fact sheets. Anybody that remembers the old Pork Industry Handbook, it's freely accessible. It's all been updated. And I think, you know, you can just, some of the genetic companies, without naming any, have excellent resource management newsletters about how those animals can be managed and should be managed so that not only your investment is a good investment, but you get to see the full potential for the genetic capabilities of that animal.
Again, that was University of Illinois Department of Animal Sciences Associate Professor Rob Knox. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.